here we go!
Okay, everybody, move to the front. Here we go. You're not gonna want to miss this first act, everybody. You're not gonna want to miss it. Our first readers. It's a collaborative offering. Ms. Elizabeth Cooperman and Ms. Thule. Woo! Yeah.
We're gonna give you a short poem from Yeats, which is something that Thule and I would walk down the street when she was 5 years old and try to remember the words.
She's so seven we'll now.
We have our cheat sheet. Okay. I made my song a coat. Out of old covered with embroideries and old mythologies from heel to throat. But the fools caught it. Wore it in the world's eyes as though they wrought it. Some let them take it, for there's more enterprise in walking naked.
Bravo! Bravo! All right, our next reader is Justine. Justine Chan. Justine Chan, everybody.
She's one of my favorite poets, and I also, her husband, Michael Vodanik, was one of my favorite professors, so I felt like I knew her personally through him. And she also passed away last year, so this is in her memory. Song. Listen, there was a goat's head hanging by ropes in a tree. All night it hung there and sang, and those who heard it felt a hurt in their hearts and thought they were hearing the song of a night bird. They sat up in their beds, and then they lay back down again. In the night wind, the goat's head swayed back and forth, and from far off it shone faintly, the way the moonlight shone on the train track miles away, beside which the goat's headless body lay. Some boys had hacked its head off. It was harder work than they had imagined. The goat cried like a man and struggled hard, but they finished the job. They hung the bleeding head by the spool and then ran off into the darkness that seems to hide everything. The head hung in the tree. The body lay by the tracks. The head called to the body to the head. They missed each other. The missing grew large between them until it pulled the heart right out of the body. Until the drawn heart flew toward the head, flew as a bird flies back to its cage and the familiar perch from which it shrills. Then the heart sang in the head, softly at first and then louder, sang long and low until the morning light came up over the school and over the tree, and then the singing stopped. The goat had belonged to a small girl. She named it the goat, broken thorn, sweet blackberry, named it after the night's bush of stars, because the goat's silky hair was dark as well water, because it had eyes like wild fruit. The girl lived near a high railroad track. At night she heard the trains passing, the sweet sound of the train's horn pouring softly over her bed. And each morning she woke to give the bleeding goat his pail of warm milk. She She sang him songs about girls with ropes and cooks and boats. She brushed him with a stiff brush. She dreamed daily that he grew bigger, and he did. She thought her dreaming made it so. But one day the girl didn't hear the train's horn, and the next morning she woke to an empty yard. The goat was gone. Everything looked strange. It was as if a storm had passed through while she slept. Wind and stones, rain stripping the branches of fruit. She knew that someone had stolen the goat and that he had come to harm. She called to him. All morning and into the afternoon, she called and called. She walked and walked in her chest a bed, feeling like the feeling of stones gouging the soft undersides of her bare feet. Then somebody found the goat's body by the hide tracks, the flies already filling their soft bottles of the goat's torn neck. Then somebody found the head hanging in a tree by the school. They hurried to take these things away so the girl would not see them. They hurried to raise money to buy the girl another goat. They hurried to find the boys who had done this, to hear them say it was a joke, it was nothing but a joke, but listen. Here's the point. The boys thought to have their fun and be done with it. It was harder work than they had imagined, this silly sacrifice, but they finished the job, whistling as they washed their large hands in the dark. What they didn't know was that the goat's head was already singing behind them in the tree. What they didn't know was that the goat's head would go on singing just for them, long after the ropes were down, and that they would learn to listen. Pale after pale, stroke after patient stroke, they would wake in the night thinking they heard the wind in the trees or a night bird, but their hearts beating harder. There would be a whistle, a hum, a high murmur, and at last, a song. The low song the lost boy sings, remembering his mother's call. Not a cruel song, no, not cruel at all. This song is sweet. It is sweet. The heart dies of this sweetness.
Thank you, Justine. Our next speaker is Mr. Doug Newfer. Doug Newfer, everybody.
Well, thank you. This is very odd because I was planning to read this a week or two ago, and then Harry Matthews died yesterday.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to read from selected declarations of dependence by Harry Matthews. He is somebody who has guided me through my writing. And what he does, he writes by various procedures. The procedure here is the perverb, where you take proverbs and rewrite them. Wait for no man. Time and tide, wait for no man. Stitches in time and tide, wait for no man. Sticks and stones and stitches in time and tide, wait for no man. Sticks and unturned stones and stitches in time and tide, wait for no man. Sticks and unturned rolling stones and stitches in time and tide, wait for no man. The things which are Caesar's, and sticks and unturned rolling stones, and stitches in time and tide, wait for no man. What goes up, and the things which are Caesar's, and sticks and unturned rolling stones, and stitches in time and tide, wait for no man. Even breaks, and what goes up, and the things which are Caesar's, and sticks, and unturned rolling stones, and stitches in time and tide, wait for no man. Ill winds, and even breaks, and what goes up, and the things which are Caesar's, and sticks, and unturned rolling stones, and stitches in time and tide, wait for no man. The road to hell! and all arose to roam, and ill winds, and even breaks, and what goes up, and the things which are Caesar's, and sticks, and unturned rolling stones, and stitches in time and time, wait for no man, any port, and all roads, the road to hell, and the roads to Rome, and ill winds, and even breaks, and what goes up, and the things which are Caesar's, and sticks, and unturned rolling stones, and stitches, and tide, wait for no man. The west that is west, and every cloud, and any port, and all roads, the road to hell, and the roads to Rome, and ill winds, and even breaks, what goes up, and the things which are Caesar's, and the sticks, and unturned rolling stones, and stitches, and time, wait for no man. The east, that is east, and red sky at night, is the west that is west, and every cloud, and end port, and all roads, the road to hell, and the roads to Rome, and ill winds, and even breaks, and what goes up, and the things which are Caesar's, and sticks, and unturned rolling stones, and stitches in time and tide, wait for no man.
All right, thank you, Doug. Everybody, Cat Wilcox. Okay, is Greg Bem in the house?
Yes.
You are next. Greg Bem. Greg Bem, everybody! Greg Bem!
Thank you, Thomas, for hosting such a great evening. And thank you to the homeowner for having this empty space. I am going to read from Emilio Roselli's War Variations, translated by Lucia Ray and Paul Vangelisti. This is not my favorite poet, but she's pretty fucking awesome. Italian, 20th century, did a lot of different things, a lot of different styles. I first read it about 4 weeks ago on a bus from Boston, New York, and I chose it to read tonight upon seeing this woman on Rampart Street in New Orleans last weekend on this walking tour, just out of nowhere, sits down and then just starts shaking violently. She has this seizure right there amidst all of us, and we're just like, what do we do? And I thought, well, this is great inspiration. Of course, the ego first. And I was thinking more about like the tension between, or the fluidity as well, of that moment of epiphany versus and aligned with that moment of crisis. So here are a few of the poems of the gazillion that are in this book. All of them are untitled. My life was saved by a retrograde love. My life got ruffled for a scolding. My circumstances were such that I couldn't escape from others. My fellow citizens raised flags and screamed and lifted their hopes. I slept. I tasted the sun. For your olive skin, for your slack jaw, for your virginal teeth, for your dark hair, for your impossible love, for your olive blood and slack jaw, for the administration of the goods that recommend no other harmony, for love and mystery, for your greed and mine, for your sounding the impossible abyss, for my visions of grandeur, for your strengthening, for my weakness, for your falling and raising yourself up, forever we'll call chimera this brief journey to the stars. If it's the fault of men, then may God come and call me out of his walls of rough greenish belt like the alphabet I can't find. If the wall is a sad story of failed conjunctions, then may I chase the hungry hairs of my tyranny and learn how to fast till the great glory is come. If hell is a greedy thing, I fear than to be among those who carry flames in their mouth and don't feed on air. But the swift wind that roams beyond borders knows how to crown my dreams, even with happy dawns. For the love I brought you, you saw clearly. If in the afternoon there was a bell, it was for you. In the afternoon I saw clearly. If in the passage of the moon there was gangrene, it was for you. Against all evil seeing and knowing. Not to die an escapade was necessary once in a while. The neighborhood became pale, pale, and its waiting was all a sleep. The unapproachable neighborhood was always awake. The doctor's pill was necessary to remember. I lived among saints, yet remained saintly. The chorality within me awoke yearning. The whole world was a huge yearning. Behold, the world awakening within me like a wide unconscious boat. Behold, the world telling me it's time to sleep. Behold, the whole world knocking at my door and I not answering. Behold, the drudgery that doesn't help anyone. Behold, it's time to shine. And last, this. Always agonizing, he transpired among his brothers, veil in hand. Always flattered and flattering, he led girls by the hand. With a knife to the heart, he rhymed. Inside the pillar of abysses, he spoiled the prayers. Against your every dazzle, the rain spurred me. Upright, I arranged absurd prayers, and the whole world was collapsing. Without the fishing net, it's impossible to get damaged. Against every evil, it's impossible to rise up. Against the nocturnal spy, it's not clear why the bomb falls.
Our next reader is Ranan David.
Thank you.
He is going to read. Well, he's just going to walk.
Yeah, hi. This is a semi-interactive piece. When I was 18 years old, I grew up in Israel, and when I was 18 years old, a friend of mine was reading this literary magazine that seems awfully cool, and I thought if I read it too, she will deem myself as awfully cool as well. However, there were two translations of Frank Zappa songs in that magazine, and one of them, two of them caught my eye, both of them. But especially one that ever since, for 40 years, I see it over and over, even more so nowadays. It is called I'm the Slime, and it was first released in 1973. I am gross and perverted. I'm obsessed and deranged. I have existed for years, but very little has changed. But very little has changed. I'm the tool of the government and industry too, for I am this time to rule and regulate you. I may be vile and pernicious, but you may walk away. I make you think I'm delicious with the stuff that I say.
I'm the best you can get.
Have you guessed me yet? Well, I'm the slime oozing out from your TV set. You will obey me while I lead you and eat the garbage that I feed you until the day that we don't need you. Don't ask for help. No one will heed you. Your mind is totally controlled and you will do as you are told. It has been stuffed into my mold and you will do as you are told until the rights to you are sold. That's right, folks. Don't touch the dial. Well, I'm the slime from the video. oozing along on your living room floor. I'm the slime from your video. Can't you stop the slime, people? Look at me. Go.
Okay, that was a good segue. This is A.R. Ammons. This poem's called Catalyst. Honor the maggot, supreme catalyst. He spurs the rate of change. All scavengers are honorable. I love them all. Will scribble hard as I can for them. He accelerates change in the changeless continuum. Where the body falls completed, he sets to work. Where the spirit attains indifference, he makes his residence. In the egg on wing from mound to mound he travels, feeds, finds his wings. After the wet sweet of decay, after the ant-sucked earth has drunk the honey fluids, after the veins lie dried to streaks of tendon inside the meat-free illuminated skull, lofts, saws the air, copulates in a hung rapture of riding, holds the sweet clear connection through dual flights, male and female, soils victory, dead cell dross transfigured into gloss, iridescence of compound eyes, duck neck purple of hairy abdomen. O worm supreme, transformer of bloated breaking flesh into colorless netted wings, into the wills of sex and song, leaving ash on odorless ground, the scent of pine straw rising dominant from the striking sun. A.R. Ammons. Our next, now we have Jesse Lortz, who is going to sing the song of another songster, I believe. He's going to sing a song. Jesse Lortz, everybody.
Okay. It's interesting to be like in the position where I'm to play a song, but my mind is on something else, you know? But I don't know if it's appropriate because I'm just playing a song, I guess. But actually, I want to do a project instead, if that's okay. I think it's okay. I'm just interested in this as a project. But I want to make two stacks of books from this room back here. And one of them is a book stack of writers by men, and one is a book stack of writers by women. Can everybody help with this?
I wasn't prepared. My back was absorbed out. No, I just, I had it already.
Project revision! Everybody to the bookstore!
Project.
Too many people in the bookstore. I'm going to use a better one. I'm going to use a better one.
And the winning ticket is...
Wow, it's so...
No!
Now I know how to get people quiet. Just have a furry flask. 414.
Yes.
Does everybody have that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, good. 961.
Yes.
No. I'll keep going.
That's it. Yeah! The next prize is a 5-pack of books to help you
breathe,
decompose.
What? I don't know. Overthrow the.
Yes.
What's happening?
Yes.
We have 1984, Eldridge Cleaver, Soul on Ice, Brave New World, It Can't Happen Here, Sinclair Lewis, Aruba One's Own, Virginia Woolf. And the winner is 414. Does everybody have that? Woo! All right. 990.
Oh shit! I have it.
Yay! Yay!
Now we have 219.
Let's
see it.
Let's
see it.
Somebody was
the final prize. The final prize is two books, a two-pack, ladies and gentlemen.
Two-pack.
We have Touch Me, poems by Suzanne Summers. Love and Marriage by Bill Cosby. Okay. Yeah. And the winner is...
He's me. He's in the majority.
415.
Yes, 415.
So let's go with Bucky.
Come on.
0-3-7.
Oh, shit. Let me see the ticket.
She's got some puppies, baby! Okay! Thank you for attending the raffle part portion of the evening.
Okay!
Let's go check on the kids in the hospital!
They were supposed to be.
Okay, and we have one more thing to raffle.
Oh, we're
feeder is Caitlin Sussman. Everybody, Caitlin Sussman.
Okay, Caitlin.
Nice stand. Feel free to sit down.
I win!
Or sit up. I don't know. Do whatever you want.
Do I win?
No, that was written on my second.
Oh, good! Oh, this is awkward. Hello.
Yeah.
Are you here? So, I've just been informed that I'm here sort of unofficially representing Elizabeth Cooperman as a former student. So, I'm reading Shakespeare not because it was an assignment, but because it was an assignment I was delighted to get. Because I think that it gets a really bad rap a lot of the time for being boring.
Shakespeare?
No.
Yeah, no, I'm in college.
Who are these people?
Thank you.
Students.
Thank you. Yeah, and him.
They just don't know the joke.
Everybody badmouths Shakespeare. I didn't know how to do this.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I Shakespeare.
Except that party.
And I'll be reading off my phone because I color coded it.
Wow.
Clean and beautiful. I have been studying how I may compare this prison where I live unto the world. And for because the world is populous, and here is not a creature but myself, I cannot do it. Yet I'll hammer it out. My brain I'll prove the female to my soul the father, and these two beget a generation of still breeding thoughts, and these same thoughts people this little world. In humors like the people of this world, for no thought is contented. The better sort, as thoughts of things divine, are intermixed with scruples, and do set the word itself against the world, as thus. Come, little ones, and then again, it is as hard to come as for a camel to thread the small postern of a needle's eye. Thoughts tending to ambition, they do plot unlikely wonders. How these vain, weak nails may tear a passage through the flinty ribs of this hard world, my ragged prison walls. And, for they cannot die in their own pride, thoughts tending to content flatter themselves that they are not the first of fortune's slaves, nor shall not be the last. Like silly beggars, who sitting in the stocks refuge their shame, that many have and others must sit here, and in this thought they find a kind of ease, bearing their own misfortunes on the back of such as have before endured the like. Thus play I one person, many people, and none contented. Sometimes am I king, then treasons make me wish myself a beggar, and so I am, then crushing penury persuades me I was better when I came, and thus I'm kinged again, till by and by I think myself unkinged by Bolingbroke and straight of nothing. But whate'er I be, nor I nor any man that but man is, with nothing can be pleased till he be eased with being nothing.
The next reader is Mr. Johnny Horton. Johnny Horton, everybody.
All right.
First of all, since we had Frank Zappa earlier. This is my favorite, or at least the one that I remembered most recently, Frank Zappa lyric that I think is appropriate to Donald Trump. I can take about an hour on the Tower of Power as long as I get a little golden shower.
So Dickie's such an asshole.
And this is a poem by Archilochus, the warrior poet of ancient Greece, one of the earliest lyric poets that I found earlier today. There's nothing now we can't expect to happen. Anything at all, you can bet, is ready to jump out at us. Father Zeus has turned noon to night, blotting out the sunshine utterly, putting cold terror at the back of the throat. Let's believe all we hear, even that dolphins and cows change place, porpoises and goats, rams booming along in the offing, mackerel nibbling in the hill pastures. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. That's from like almost 3,000 years ago. And then this I was just studying villanelles with my students, and because I love Richard Hugo, actually, Richard Hugo wrote this crazy villanelle, and you may know that he was, the Hugo House, of course, is named for Richard Hugo, and that he was the student of Theodore Repke, who wrote one of the most famous, maybe that there's three most famous villanelles in the English language. The Waking is probably one of them, which is by Theodore Repke, who was Richard Hugo's teacher. But this is called, Richard Hugo, by the way, was a warrior poet too. He was, in World War II, he pulled the lever, the bomb lever, he was in a heavy bomber and dropped bombs on people. And this is a poem sort of about when he comes back from the war, but it's a villanelle, so there's a lot of repeating lines. And he's sitting in a baseball field right after the war. The Freaks at Spurgeon Road Field. This is probably my favorite Richard Hugo poem. It takes us into very uncomfortable places. And I'll tell you right now that I have a developmentally disabled brother. And it sort of speaks to that in a way. The dim boy claps because the others clap. The polite word, handicapped, is muttered in the stands. Isn't it wrong the way the mind moves back? One whole day I sit contrite, dirt, L.A., Union Station, 46, sweating through last night. The dim boy claps because the others clap. Score 5-3, pitcher fading badly in the heat. Isn't it wrong to be or not be spastic? Isn't it wrong the way the mind moves back? I'm laughing at a neighbor girl beaten to scream by a savage father. And I'm ashamed to look. The dim boy claps because the others clap. The score is always close, the rally always short. I've left more wreckage than a quake. Isn't it wrong, the way the mind moves back? The afflicted never cheer in unison. Isn't it wrong, the way the mind moves back, to stammering pastures where the picnic should have worked? The dim boys clap because the others clap. I don't want to leave it on that. I don't want to leave it on that. No. What? Okay. Good one.
You left it for Bettina. Our next reader is Bettina McKelvey. Bettina McKelvey, everybody!
So this is a piece from a legitimate journalist named Alexandra Petrie. It appeared in the Washington Post on Tuesday afternoon, and it's called The True, Correct Story of What Happened at Donald Trump's Inauguration. Here is the fair and unbiased story about the inauguration written in compliance with the Trump-style guidelines that we should be obeying for the next 4 years. Nothing that has ever happened or will ever happen was as great as Donald Trump's inauguration. The crowd was magnificent and huge, bigger than any crowd had ever been before. It stretched all the way to the moon. The Pope, who was there, confirmed this. Thanks for being here, Pope, Donald Trump told him. Are you kidding? You're my best friend, the Pope said. I wouldn't miss your big day for anything. He gave Donald Trump a big high five. Everyone in the world had come there at great expense. They had sold all their possessions, their homes, their Hamilton tickets, which were, of course, worthless to them, to raise money to come and see this great sight. They could not believe that a perfect being such as Donald Trump even existed. They thought he was a myth, or a legend, or a decades-long series of fabrication. But then they saw him, and their doubts fell away. The media was there, and they were very, very sorry. Donald, the newscaster said, we were so mean to you. We used to laugh and call you names. We were no better than all of the other reindeer. How can you ever forgive us? Forgive you, Donald Trump said. I've already forgotten. He smiled a big, beautiful smile. That was just who Donald Trump was. He was like Jesus, but he was blind. It was a wonderful start to the day. Everyone liked Donald Trump's speech and the words that he used. They liked even more the part where he rolled up his sleeve and showed off his bicep. It was a great bicep. It made The Rock so upset to see it that he threw something down on the ground and he said, "Darn!" Donald Trump pulled out a violin and played a solo. And then he pulled out an electric guitar and he played an even sicker solo. The whole ground was soon covered with women's undergarments. Millions of women were there to support Donald Trump, and they were all at least sevens. And also, every woman that Donald Trump had ever dated was there, and they were not upset with him, just a shame that they had not lived up to his required standard. "Trump! Trump! Trump!" the crowd cheered. Donald Trump touched many people in the crowd in a way that they all thought was welcome and appropriate. And he cured their ailments from cancer to autism. "If only we could bother your touch," someone said, "children could stop getting vaccinated altogether." Donald Trump winked. "Don't worry," he said, "I'm on it." Then Donald Trump served loaves and fishes to everyone there. There were enough loaves and fishes for everyone, and they were all made in America and said Trump on them. It was like the Oscars, but also like Woodstock, but also like the Super Bowl, but also like the Sermon on the Mount. If you were not there, you should just go home and die. Your life will have purpose or meaning by comparison, not even holding your newborn child in your arms or having health insurance. Bono and Bruce Springsteen and Elton John and the Rolling Stones and Beyonce and all the other top artists were there, and they fought hard over who would be allowed to sing first. Finally, Bruce Springsteen won. Bono cried and he cried and he cried, and all the other artists had to console him. When Bruce Springsteen had finished singing, he walked over to Donald Trump, extended his hand, and said, "You are the only real hero left in this world." The people were so excited that they built a very special stone pyramid just for Donald Trump, so that the world would not have to wait until he died to see what his monument would look like. But they were silly to be concerned. Donald Trump will never die. A little child was in the audience, and he started to cry because the emperor was wearing so many clothes. Also, he could tell that he had not ever and would never, ever, ever be racist. Donald Trump's beautiful big family was there. His favorite childhood dog was there too, back from the farm where he still lives to this day. Donald Trump can talk to animals, and his eyes are lasers. And when the floor is lava, Donald Trump can walk on it. But only Donald Trump. When Donald Trump points his finger at you, you have to lie down. But when other people point their fingers at Donald, he does not have to lie down. Donald Trump's clock tower is the biggest. He does not need a nap or a snack. He has the longest, biggest attention span. Everyone loves Donald Trump, and what he has to say interests them. Donald Trump is a star. People love him, and he won the popular vote, too.
Okay. Did I forget anyone? Nadine, do you want to read something?
Yes.
No. Yeah. Nadine Maestas, everybody! She's so excited to be for us.
I needed another beer before I got up here. I also stayed up all night last night reading poems. Because that's what people pay me to do, apparently.
Are you like the only person who has that job in the world?
Donald Trump also has it. He writes poems. Gives good feedback, I hear. For a really long time, this is, we're reading like poems by other people, right? For a long time, this was like my favorite book. I feel like nobody even knows this book anymore. It's called Some Other Kind of Mission by Lisa Jarno, and it's her first book. And it's like really collage kind of style in there, as well as the actual poems are kind of like pretty collage-y. Does anybody know? Has anyone read this book before? Yeah. So I was like wondering. Okay.
We know collage.
What's that?
We know collage.
You know collage. So does Donald Trump. All right. So I'm gonna try to wake up real quick. I was thinking about, look at this church on the river, exacerbating options of the, look at this, the river, open herons at the porch light. No visible means of the sunlight, no visible means of every word, it's just like out of red clay. You have the right to refuse the meshes of the afternoon in the pitch black twilight, on a pitch black tweed indeed, couldn't have been. Then, when after the blackbird sings, it is too there. Is to the O-rings. They reported the return of the farm to the forefront of Medley in a case of unpronounced as birds. As the birds cut at the case study chasing New Jersey back to the whistle colony, I dreamt last night the whistles in the stolen car at the dammed on ice and the wheel at the wheel of every go down to the wire bird and damned by at the wheel and messed up their minds. The third time being wonderful. I'm tired of being wonderful on the running board of the field, on the headlights of the memory of someone's latest fit, taking action in this portion, in the maybe, to take or direct, a slender, paralyzed waiting for dinner. You have the right to refuse losing sleep. Sundays, I'd like to be what the birds have been, breaking luck of taking action shattered. To be like what the birds have been, unslendered, direct and taking action. The railroad caught at the back of my head. They go to the farm, to then to take the birds, to the blur, fur, and heron, which falls next to, in game pen, in cortex of slender walk. In the cortex of slender violet walking, later in the empty city, who these are unlike who, where, the first just go, remind me. Just remind me to show you the atlas that can't fit anywhere. I don't know what happened after the net came shut down in eye shot, pardon me. The blue furs, first the fire in the yarrow down to much, pretty soon the tracks that don't come back in inland horses. I returned to this book just because it's pretty raw. And like later she develops this very like driving rhythmic lyrical style. But this is just completely broken. And it's almost as if like later in her career she just put it back together. Which is actually something that she writes about in the introduction to the New American Poetry anthology that she did. And I also wanted to just read a little bit of this Gertrude Stein thing that I don't think a lot of people read, maybe some people in here actually would. It's called A Novel of Thank You. I don't know if it's like one of her more popular things. Sometimes I think people just keep Gertrude Stein around because she like has these huge mega books, but they don't actually read them. And it's easy to understand why, because they're just like kind of sometimes just almost linguistically numbing. But for me, it's pretty exciting. I guess I like being linguistically numbed a bit, so. This is broken up in these like very tiny chapters, which is apparently the kind of fiction I can handle, or the prose. Very tiny chapters. How many more than two are there? If they heard it at once, and at once was an afterward, whom would they have to mention in leaves? This makes them wish a longer chapter. This makes them wish, and afterwards this makes them leave, and afterwards this makes them leave and wish this makes them leave and leaves, and wish and afterward this makes them wish and leave and leaves and afterward. Describe. In the rest of all 80, of all 80, and of all 80, of all 80, and of all 80, and in the rest of all 80, country. The country is at once, and left of it, to the left of it, to the right of it, and at once. We have decided to leave for the country at once. New York, Boston, Paris, and English. 14 cities are larger there than here, 14 cities are larger here than there. 14 cities, and that is where she said she would stay. 14 cities, very likely, she said she would stay. Chapter head, 14 cities. Led and leading. She had the advantage of that. There is more advantage in that. There's more and more and more advantage in that. She has this advantage. Chapter meeting. She met the expert she expected to say the month of May. The month of May was next month. Busily and busily. Is it more? Is it as easily? Is it easier to have and to directly and indirectly fasten and unfasten and liberate and liberally and inclined to be inclined to take it?
Thank you.
Thank you everybody for coming. Thanks to Rob Kowalski for hanging his paintings. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
The segregationist project in the back room. Please feel free to see how it's going back there. All right. Wow.